What's going on, Wolfpack Nation? Welcome to another episode of Tuffy Talk, y'all. And I do gotta say that it is never a bad time to talk about NC State football, y'all. That there, we just got off the live stream just this past Monday talking about how there's never been a better time to be an NC State fan, and obviously talking about all the amazing sports that we have going on right now that are competing at the ACC level. But obviously, all the fans are just buzzing right now for NC State football. So we figured, hey, what a better way to talk a little bit NC State football to bring in on a friend of the podcast here, Richard Washington, former NC State wide receiver and one of the biggest commits in terms of recruiting grade in NC State history. Richard, appreciate you coming on again, my man.
Absolutely, man. I'm happy. I'm happy to keep that role too, man, as the top wide receiver ever at NC State.
Let's go recruiting wise. So absolutely. But yeah, Richard. So, you know, obviously the main thing of this episode, and we'll kind of get to it, is, during our interview, one of the things that you had said was, man, we got to step up with recruiting. You know, we got to get the big guys. And I mean, we'll get to it, but I mean, I think we got the big guys. Would you agree with that? I think we finally did some work in the transfer portal. We got some big guys that we'll definitely talk about here. But, you know, I know that when we had you on the last time, we definitely, it was way before that amazing last stretch of games that we had. Yeah, so I want to kind of get your thoughts first and foremost, man, like from being a former player, from being a, you know, NC State, former NC State player, like, you know, give us your thoughts. I mean, about the turnaround that we saw coming out of that bye week, you know, just what's your initial thoughts?
I thought we were going downhill for a minute, man.
It was bad.
They were talking about firing Dave Dorn and my buddy Freddie Anchilenzi, my teammate, he's on the staff. So I'm like, I don't want him to get fired either, you know, like, but it was going downhill, but we turned it around for some reason, man. I don't know if we got our ass beat that bad that game, and we needed that. We probably that's what we needed. But after that, man, it's like a light switched, and like we just start like clicking on all cylinders. Like, you know, we start incorporating Brennan Armstrong into the offense. Like we started, what's his name?
What?
The quarterback that went to Maryland.
MJ.
MJ.
Yeah. We started MJ, and he kind of gave us a little spark, you know, so it was kind of needed. But then we started incorporating Armstrong into the offense, and, man, it just started, like, clicking. And the receivers, Rozier, the senior, he caught a pass in the end zone. I don't know what game it was. And it was like he started the momentum, and the running back, the young running back started running. The Mims started getting into the end zone.
Yeah,
and the defense, Wilson, you know, he was always amazing, but everyone started clicking, man, and it was amazing, like, to see that camaraderie, like, you know, at that moment, which we needed towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good, man, to see it, because I thought we were going downhill for a moment, but we turned it up a little notch, so that's what we needed, for sure.
Yeah, I know we talked a lot about it, both while it was happening and then after, about, yeah, that Duke game did not go well. NC State only put up 3 points offensively and then went into a bye week. And we said at the time, you know, this is kind of make or break. Are we going downhill? Is this kind of it? Is this the ceiling for this season, or is there room to turn around? And obviously we did turn it around and ended up winning out. But what on the offensive side specifically do you think allowed NC State to kind of find their rhythm and be successful in the second half of the season?
Honestly, I really think it was Brennan Armstrong. And what, of course, Casey, you know, he was the man. He's the man. You know, of course, him getting him the ball majority as possible is always helpful. But I think Brennan running the ball was like really helpful for us in the running game. And he was getting in the end zone. He was getting a lot of yards for us. But, you know, it was hurting us towards, like, you know, some games where we ran him too much, but you know, it was a big plus for us, man. And now, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to get into it early, but, like, now we have, like, plenty of weapons, man. We have a lot of them now, you know. It's, like, good and the bad thing to happen, like, you know. But we'll get into it. But, you know, like, I just think that Brennan, like, he really helped brought us along with his senior leadership, and everything. That was really helpful for us and getting the offensive coordinator, him on the same page as I. And, you know, that was really a big plus for us toward the end of the season. And I think we needed that big time for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. No, again, it's just, and in my opinion, we've said it, but I think that without a doubt that 2023 was Doran's best coaching job ever. Like, no doubt about it. Yeah. And I mean, I can't necessarily give it all to him. I mean, you know, Peyton Wilson, his leadership, no doubt, had a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. Brandon Armstrong, no doubt. I mean, the fact that, and again, I mean, let's talk a little bit about it. Again, being a former player, like how, you know, Brennan got told, like, you know, we're going to look to MJ. And he told the players, I mm-hmm. want you guys to play hard for MJ. And then his willingness to come in a few plays, his willingness in his final year, mm-hmm. his willingness to get asked, okay, you know what? Now we need you once again. And he stepped up in the biggest way, you know, and in today's world of, you know, NIL and, you know, the way college football is, you don't see that much anymore. You don't see that kind of character. And absolutely. It was awesome to see.
Absolutely. And we needed that, man, like, because it could have went the other way, man. And who knows, like, Boo probably, who knows, he probably would have fired Dave Doran if we would have just lost every game, like every last one, like all the 4 or 5 games we had left. That would have been terrible.
Yeah.
So true. Who knows, but I'm glad it went the way it did, because Dave's a good coach. He's recruiting good players and good class guys, you know, so like, We need him around. I absolutely think we need him around. And I really think we're going to get over the hump soon.
That's right. No. Well, and let's get right into it here. Is, again, obviously, you know, Doran did also, I think, did his best offseason job ever with retaining every single assistant coach, which is something you don't see in today's mm-hmm. college football either. And also, too, with the transfer portal. I mean, you know, getting a top 10 transfer portal recruiting class in the country. You know, it just did a phenomenal job. So, you know, really kind of the purpose of this for, you know, all of our viewers and listeners here is I really wanted to bring on Richard, as again, he made that comment saying we need to step it up. And since we really did hit it hard with a lot of wide receivers, I think arguably this could be one of the best wide receiver rooms in NC State history, man.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it has that potential. It really has that potential. Like, and I wrote down my list. I have a list right here, and the list is full. I'm like, we have a good and a bad problem right now. Like, this is the first time I ever think I said this. Like, we have a good and a bad problem. Serious. We really do. And with the game today, with the NIL, like you were saying, it's like, it's hard because, like, I wish all these guys would stay, because some of these guys are not going to get, like, the amount of touches they want, you know, but we need them, you know, and they're young and, you know, they're good. So, you know, it's going to be tough trying to get everybody the ball, man. Like, with these names and these like potential we have, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, we've talked absolutely. About that in this off season. It's like, we don't have the problem of, oh, who's going to get this job. We have the problem of there's too many talented guys who we could turn to. And I guess that's a nice problem to have. You know, someone gets hurt, things happen. Someone's not necessarily playing in a way that works for our team. We have other people to turn to. But who wide receiver-wise are you particularly excited about?
Of course, KC. But listen, it's a couple. Anderson for sure. Terrell Anderson for sure.
Really?
Jonathan Paylor. You know, he's explosive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're going to put him at running back or receiver. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because he can play a different variety of positions. He came in as an athlete, but because I seen him on film as a running back, and he's just as good as he is a wide receiver. So mm-hmm. you never know. Jameer Boston, you never know about him. He's a low 3-star guy. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a high 4-star guy like the other guys. Zachary, the Zachary kid. You know, I heard a lot about him. You know. Mm-hmm. Who else I got on the list? We got, of course, a transfer with Rogers. He's going to be big time. He's been acclimated with an Ohio State system, so he's been around the program to know, like, how to run routes, how to be disciplined, how to get ready for the games and stuff. So that's going to be important. He should have came to NC State from the get-go, but that's another day for another day.
Yeah.
We got Grimes coming in. We got Collins still around, Dakari Collins, like, he was a high 4-star, you know. He could take the next step, and he can be a really big prospect for us, you know. Mm-hmm. Julian Gray, you know, of course he could take the top off the defense. And it's like, how many options do we have? I even have Dylan Smothers on my list. You know, he was big time. So, like, it's like, plus Jordan Waters for the running back from Duke that came along. Mm-hmm. Not even to think about Grayson McCall, you know, it's like, how many options do we have? It's like, never had this many options like before. So it's like, how does Robert Anai does this? You know, how does he incorporate with everybody getting the ball, like, you know, on every given Saturday, you know, make everybody happy? Because, you know, some guys will get six touches one game and one touch the next game. So, like, and they're young, so we get it, you know, but it's going to be a lot, man. Even the guy, the running back that I think is a sleeper, Jaden Scott, I really like his film, you know, even him coming along, you know, because we need running back depth at that position, you know. So it's like all of these guys have potential to be great, you know, and, you know, we have the coaching staff to make it happen.
Before we continue, I want to take a quick second to tell you about our sponsor, Flatlands Jessup Insurance Group, that has your whole world covered with agents in 5 offices throughout Eastern North Carolina to help you decide how much coverage you need. Offering policies for home and auto, recreational vehicles, commercial, crop, health, life, and employee benefits. They are able to combine options to find a comprehensive solution that works for you. Flatlands Jessup protects the things you love so you can spend less time worrying and more time enjoying them. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Flatlands Jessup. You can also visit their webpage at www.flatlandsjessup.com. So please make sure to go and check them out. So let's start to talk about some of these guys. So one guy in particular that I think that everybody's the most excited about, and a guy that you just said should have come to NC State from the get-go. Could you possibly make the argument that in the long term, Noah Rogers going to Ohio State might actually turn out better than if he had come to State, just because he had an opportunity to grow. He has an opportunity to learn from some of the best wide receiver prospects in the country. You know, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr.
Absolutely.
You know, learn a little bit from, you know, the wide receiver U of college football, and, you know, and then come back to NC State. Because I think that last year, with the situation we were in, he would have gotten thrown in. I mean, he definitely would have played a lot, which could be good, but we don't know, you know. Not every single prospect is going to be Kevin Concepcion that can come right in and be effective, you know, from day one. So, I mean, could
but
be.
But what if? What right? if? I know. Just like even better than KC. Like, just imagine that. Like, oh, maybe. My gosh. Like, the season we could have. But that's he's here now, and that's the only thing that matters. And he's where he needs to be, you know. But, hey, at the same time, we'll take care of him. He's going to be in the room with a lot of great young talent, man. So it's like, hopefully these guys can work together and stay together, you know. If they're not getting the ball, they're not in the depth chart, fourth, fifth receiver, just work hard, you know. Because back then when we had, you know, it wasn't a transfer portal. We had to wait it out, you know. We had to wait behind Jericho Cotri and the guys. We had to wait behind Brian Peterson. I had to wait. So it's so it was a thing. But hopefully these guys can wait around and, you know, wait their turn, and hopefully they, you know, we all can contribute to something simpler.
But kind of talk to me a little bit about Rogers in terms of, you know, have you been able to watch any of his highlights or anything like that?
Not really, man. Okay. Not much.
You got to.
Even in practice. But I want to see some of his film at Ohio State. I want to see how much he matured along as a freshman, because that's what I really want to see. And, you know, nowadays, you know, now since spring, you don't get to see them. They're not running routes. They're just working out and stuff. So it's hard to get a good grasp on what he's like. What is he really like? You know, is he really good like everybody says? So I really want to see myself.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, especially because, like Leighton said, he's coming from one of these top universities. You know, we can say, oh, he should have been at State all along, but playing behind guys at Ohio State for a year and kind of seeing that environment, it'll be interesting to see what he does here. And we were talking about semi-local guys who, you know, maybe should have come to State to begin with. And I know another person that people are excited about is Wesley Grimes. Mm-hmm. He's a Raleigh native, went to Millbrook High School, and is now transferring from Wake Forest. What have you seen from him, and how do you think he's going to fit in?
He's going to actually fit good. He's played in ACC already, so that's a plus already.
Exactly.
He knows how to beat defenses. He knows how to go through the depth chart and read what cornerbacks read tendencies. He knows all those things. So that's a big plus for us, especially for sure. With Grayson McCall at quarterback, having him as a veteran leader, you know, that's the biggest thing, like what you need in college football, I think. Having a quarterback that's a veteran, that's been through blitzes, been through all kinds of defenses, that's a really huge plus, man. And I think that's going to help us a lot along the season. Like it was with Brennan, Grayson's going to bring that because he can run a little bit. He can pass a lot. So, and another thing with Bailey, Cedric Bailey, he's really going to take a liking to Grayson along the way. As long as he's learning the concept of college football, he'll be fine. I just think he just has to learn a lot more. And you never know. He might have to get thrown in the fire where we need him, you know?
Yeah. Well, and one of the biggest questions when the news came out that Grayson McCall was committed was, is this just going to be our thing? You go from one, you know, graduate, you know, transfer, you know, quarterback to the next. And I mean, kind of my answer is it kind of depends on your options. But,
yeah.
You know, with a guy like Grayson McCall, with his experience, with, you know, his dual threat capabilities, mm-hmm. he's just a perfect, you know, he's a perfect quarterback for a nice system. Now, absolutely. I think ideally you would love to have a guy that can be at NC State for 2 or 3 years, but there's just not really those guys out there that are within our budget, aka like you could have mm-hmm. gone after the Oregon transfer, who was the backup, but
yep.
you got to pay him a lot of money and yep. you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get from him. Or right. you go after the guy from Marshall.
Yep.
He's a guy that he could play 2 years, but can he play at ACC caliber college football playoff level?
Absolutely.
We don't know. But Grayson McCall, he's a three-time conference player of the year. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. he has all the records, you know, at Coastal Carolina. He's played in big games. So you feel very, very confident in what he, you know, can offer. But I mean, would you kind of agree with my take? It just kind of depends on the situation, or do you think the next guy needs to be a 2 or 3 year guy?
I'm iffy about that, man. Like, because I don't know if I really like. Mm-hmm. It's a plus because they're veterans. You know, they've been through the storm.
Right.
But I don't know if I want to keep doing that every year. You know, right. I really don't. You know, and it hurts like players like Cedric Bailey. You know, because we're bringing in somebody else every year above him, even though he could be a good player. But he hasn't been on the field enough to know if we can do the job or not. So it's like it's a give and a take, man. And I don't know. I'm iffy about that. I'm iffy about it. I like the way it happened for us this year, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, like I don't know. I'm iffy about it. I mean, because it hurts the high school kids, man. It really does. It really does. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it definitely worked out for us last year. Again, Grayson was a 3-time conference player of the year. He's a North Carolina native, mm-hmm. brings a bunch of accolades and also a sense of leadership to state. But you were talking about these young wide receivers and hoping that people stay and wait it out and wait their turn and continue to develop at state. What do you think the turnover in quarterbacks year to year is doing to those guys?
See, and that's a big thing too, you know. Good thing we have Cedric Bailey, and I think we got Lex Thomas. Listen, don't sleep on Lex Thomas. Don't sleep on him.
He throws
a great ball. He throws a great ball, and he's been in the system. So, you know, and you never know. We might need him too. But as long as those young guys stick around with Lex and Cedric, they'll be fine. Just stick around, you know, develop that camaraderie with the guys, you know, throwing after practice. And I think those young guys will stick around. If we have a big year and we win the ACC championship, that's going to be huge for those guys because that's just going to boost their morale even more, you know? And so I just think if they stick around and they just build together and see what we're building, and once we win this first ACC championship, they'll see that, you know, the sky's the limit, you know? So it's coming. It's coming. And listen, I read an article the other day. I forgot what website it was on. It was like the top 10 early predictions about schools that can overcome the hump. And they said NC State we're going to win our first ACC championship this year. And it was just the predictions and everything, but it was like, finally, we get over the hump. We had the big transfer portal recruits. We had the big freshman class. So they said, finally, and I was like, it had a big smile on my face, man, because I really truly believe that it can happen. It really can happen.
Yeah.
Going to Tennessee is going to be tough. If we can beat Tennessee in Knoxville, Tennessee,
Well, it's not in Knoxville.
It's in Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's neutral site.
That's even better. Because we get a little home field advantage. But if we can still beat Tennessee, which is a big conference game, man, SEC champ chance to beat a team like that, man, the sky's the limit, man, for sure.
Yeah, I know we've talked about that on the podcast, about how do you go from, you know, thinking your team had a great season and did great for who they are, to being one of these football dynasty schools, one of these big schools that you expect to thrive in football every year, that have a lot of, you know, market value. A lot of them are SEC schools, and I think beating Tennessee would be a big step in that, especially because it is a neutral ground, but it is in North Carolina. I think it'll pull together a big crowd and kind of show people what NC State football is really about, especially as we're coming off such a great transfer and freshman class coming in.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think this is our chance. I think this is our moment. This is our big moment, because we get Tennessee, man. How often would we get these big schools like that, you know, on our own stomping ground in our own state, you know? So we have to take advantage of this stuff. We have to.
Agreed. Yeah. No, again, I mean, the schedule's, you know, one of the easiest in the country, you know, overall. And I mean, because even a game like Tennessee is a game that, I mean, you can lose. And I mean, if you have a great ACC year and, you know, if you can go 10-2, 11-1, you're right there in the college football playoff conversation now with the expanded to 12 teams. So, and if you win the ACC, you're guaranteed in. So,
that's not a guarantee.
Is it not?
Well, now it is because of 12 teams.
Now it is.
We see what happened to Florida State last year.
Well, but now it's a 5-7.
Yeah, exactly.
so now the Power Five champions are guaranteed. So that's a news change today.
I seen that. We better get in if we win the ACC championship.
Well, now you are. Yeah. So,
how do you feel about that expansion, about the chance to go from four teams to 12 in terms of, you know, expanding what NC State football is and what it can be?
I love it because you never know, like, what can happen. You never know if we're in second place in ACC and we're 11-2 or 10-2, you know, and we get that actual 12th spot, you know, because we beat teams along the way that were ranked or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. We laid an egg somewhere, but we beat Tennessee, we beat Clemson, but, you know, something happened along the way, you know, so we need that. But I agree with it. I absolutely love it, man. The four teams is too, it was the same teams every time.
Yeah.
Same teams. It got kind of boring, you know, so. And I don't like complacent. Like Chuck Amato told me, don't never get complacent. And I got complacent with it. I really think we can get in that 12. If we just gotta just right the ship, listen to Dorn, listen to assistant coaches, do the right thing, listen to your teachers, go to class, no one's out past 12 o'clock, all the little things like that, then we'll be successful.
That's right. So with that being said, Wolfpack Nation, we're going to take a pause right there we'll pick up in part two, specifically talking about one guy in Kevin Concepcion that I think that every State fan is screaming through the phone saying, talk about KC. And so we'll definitely talk a lot about him in part two. So to make sure you do not miss out on that, make sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. If you enjoyed this conversation, hit that like button. Make sure to give us a follow on all of our social media, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Tuffy Talk Now. And make sure to give our guy Rich Washington as well a follow on Twitter at RWashingtonNCST. Make sure to go give him a follow there. But with that being said, Wolfpack Nation, we'll see y'all for part two. Go Pack, y'all.